Thanks for taking time to join us for this podcast coming from Portland Christian Center, located in Portland, Oregon. In a moment, you will be listening to Ray Noah, lead pastor here at the center. Now, here's Ray teaching on the Spirit of Christmas or the Spirit of Christ.
I mean, it's great stuff, isn't it? I mean, if you're not in the Christmas spirit by now, you are a Grinch. This is a great time of the year. But have you noticed, there's a problem with the spirit of Christmas. It passes far too quickly. It passes much too quickly. I mean, everything gets put back to normal way too soon. For some of you, like the day after Christmas, the morning after Christmas, you're putting everything back into that neat little place where it won't be brought out and again until the next season. Well, the sad thing about the departure of the Christmas spirit, the kindness, the generosity, the peace, the goodwill, the family harmony, is that we all innately desire it, but more than that, we desperately need it all the time. That's the sad thing about the quick departure of the spirit of Christmas. We need what Christmas has to offer. Christmas is embedded deeply within the human heart. God has made it so. So it's no wonder then that we get subconsciously melancholy, if not outright depressed, that Christmas has left us so soon. One of the most striking illustrations of this phenomenon took place back in World War II, something that happened that was very, very interesting, a true story. In those days, combat was not high-tech like it is today. Warfare was not done from drones and submarines that launched missiles from the bottom of the ocean. Combat was fought hand-to-hand. And soldiers lived and for weeks at a time, if not months at a time. And they fought and they died in these muddy, blood-filled trenches. The opposing trenches were often so close that you could literally hear the voices of the enemy just feet away from you. Well, there was one particular cold Christmas Eve, this was in France, where the soldiers, British soldiers, were huddled in the bottom of their trenches because of the annual Christmas truce that was observed between countries back in those days. They don't do that today, but they observed an annual Christmas truce. The fighting, the hostilities had stopped, at least for the Christmas holiday. Suddenly, from a British trench, a tenor voice boomed out, a loud tenor voice began to sing, "The Lord is my shepherd." And the sound of that music, the sound of that song began to float into the air. And then surprisingly, from a German trench, a rich baritone voice joined in, singing in his own German language, the same song. As these two enemy soldiers began to sing of the same Lord who was their shepherd, for a few minutes, in both trenches, all ears tuned in to this peaceful harmony as these two enemy singers sang to the Lord. And then they stopped. When the song was over, they stopped, the silence returned, and the soldiers hunkered back down in their trenches to wait through that cold night to the break of day until Christmas Day dawned. And then early on Christmas morning, some British soldiers climbed out of their trench into the no man's land that separated these enemies trying to kill each other. And they carried with them a soccer ball. And the Brits began to kick the ball around, and then a pickup soccer match ensued. And then something very, very unique happened. Some German soldiers began to crawl out of their trench, and they joined the Brits. And there on Christmas morn, in the middle of a battlefield in France, enemy forces were playing a friendly soccer game in the middle of World War I. The next morning, the morning after Christmas, everything went back to normal. Bullets were flying, bayonets were thrusting, and the awful brutality of war. Well, here's the thing about the spirit of Christmas. It will produce a temporary truce, but no lasting peace. That's the spirit of Christmas. Not a bad thing. And it'll produce a temporary euphoria, a temporary hilarity, a temporary joy, a temporary peace, but no lasting peace. The Christmas spirit is potent, making people think of goodwill and of forgiving and of giving. I mean, for crying out loud, what else would motivate otherwise self-absorbed celebrities to go out on that day to feed the homeless? I mean, it does something in our spirit, doesn't it? And whether you're a self-absorbed celebrity or a soldier in the bottom of a trench or just normal people, simple people like me, the spirit of Christmas is too much. It's too pricey. It costs too much to keep up. And so it soon gets put back to normal in our lives, doesn't it? And yet the seasonal pull of the Christmas spirit reveals something of the deepest longing and even the altruistic potentials, the potential for love and peace and forgiveness and giving and kindness that stubbornly endures even in our flawed hearts. It stubbornly endures in the human heart. But it also says something of the incompleteness, the gap, the hole in our hearts. And that is this, that we need something more than just the spirit of Christmas. We need something more. Well, what is it? What is that something more that we need? What do we really need? Well, to begin with, we need the spirit of Christmas to be superseded by the spirit of Christ. That's what we need. We don't need to do away with the spirit of Christmas. I'm not saying that. We just need the spirit of Christmas to be superseded by the spirit of Christ. We need the spirit of Christ to be superimposed upon our experience, our celebration of the Christmas spirit. And that would make all of the difference in the world, wouldn't it? In our worlds, in the great big world, it would make all of the difference, figuratively and literally. I want you to notice, if you would, if you'll turn to Luke chapter 1. You're wondering if I was going to get to the scripture this morning. Turn to Luke chapter 1. And I know that we read in the Advent Luke chapter 2, so I want you to go back from that. And we're going to look at a portion of the Christmas story from this first chapter in Luke's gospel. And I want you to notice this morning the oft unnoticed spirit of Christ that was revealed in this Christmas story here in Luke chapter 1. For the context of this, to set the context of this, Mary was questioning the angel's announcement that she, a young virgin, probably a teenage girl that had not known a man, she had not been sexually intimate, was going to become pregnant and give birth to a baby, and not just any old baby. This was going to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And she was questioning that, as you can imagine. How is this going to be? What? Come on, man. Is this really going to happen to me? When the angel said to her, verse 35, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." The angel told Mary that she would actually experience this supernatural pregnancy by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit would rest upon her and produce within her and then birth from her the one whose reign would be eternal. Notice, if you go back to verse 33, look at that. Notice what he says. He will reign, that is the Messiah, the Christ child, will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never come to an end. Now, for several reasons, that ought to resonate with us, and I'm sure it does. But there is one reason for rejoicing that I think we often overlook. Often, maybe we completely overlook this in the Christmas story. You see, the Bible teaches us, in a way not dissimilar to Mary's experience, that it's possible for this same Christ child, this same Christ, to be birthed within you by this same Holy Spirit. I mean, think about that. The same Jesus can be birthed in us by this same Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 11, Paul says it this way. He says, "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you." Now, Paul is talking not just about eternal life someday, but the Christ life right now. Not just eternal life, but the Christ life. And that is the difference between the spirit, small s, of Christmas, and the spirit, capital S, of Christ. That's the difference. The spirit of Christmas is a human product. The spirit of Christ is a divine person. The spirit of Christmas is annual. It's seasonal. The spirit of Christ is eternal. It's continual. It's present right now. The spirit of Christmas is external for the most part. The spirit of Christ is internal. The spirit of Christmas is conceived, by and large, it's conceived by marketers. The spirit of Christ is continually present by permanent impregnation. The Christmas spirit is a wonderful thing. I'm not down on it. I don't want to do away with it. But what we really desperately need is the ever-present Spirit of Christ. That's what you and I need to keep the Christmas Spirit alive. We need the ever-present Spirit of Christ. And if we're going to move from the Spirit of Christmas into the Spirit of Christ 365 days a year, in a foundational way, it is important, it is critical that we make that distinction between the Christmas spirit and the Christ spirit that is to inhabit and dwell and be birthed out of us. Similarly, we don't just need the happy holidays, but we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. The angel, if you'll notice in verse 35, the angel promised Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Paul said in Romans 8:11, it's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. And again, Paul wasn't just referring to what happens to you after you die. He was talking about what happens to you between now and that day. Your life, your everyday walking around, eating, breathing, existing life, this Spirit will dwell within you. You see, like Mary, the Holy Spirit will literally birth Christ within you. Not just as the power of salvation, but as the divine partner for your everyday life. Yes, it's true. The Holy Spirit will impregnate you with Christ. Now, does that make you uncomfortable hearing it in that language? Is that a little weird? Does it seem a little bit awkward to talk about it that way? Well, that's what Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. In fact, he uses similar language. He says, my dear children, for whom I am in the pains of childbirth, until what? Until Christ is formed in you. In other words, the remarkable essence of Christianity is that Christ was born of a virgin, born in the flesh, born in Bethlehem. He lived, he died, he rose again from the dead, so that in the person of the Holy Spirit, God, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, might take up permanent residence in our lives. That makes for boundless, limitless possibilities, not just an annual event, but a perpetual indwelling. So this thing that happened to Mary is not just sentimental stuff that we experience seasonally, but this is supernatural stuff that we're meant to enjoy every day, 365 days a year, every day of our life. God in Christ, by the Spirit, impregnated and growing within not just the Virgin Mary, but growing within you and me. That's mind-boggling. It is. But it's what the Holy Spirit desires and plans on doing for His people, including you, including me. So the question then is, how do we move then from this recognition of the Spirit of Christmas being different than the Spirit of Christ, that we need to allow the Spirit of Christ to be imposed over, to supersede the Spirit of Christmas? How do we move from that recognition? How do we move from the recognition that the Holy Spirit desires to birth Christ within us to a day-by-day, a sustainable spirit of the Spirit of Christ, a sustainable experience of the Spirit of Christ? How do we move into that? Well, there's one more thing that we need to do. Like Mary, we need to humbly accept and gladly obey everything God desires to birth within us. In other words, we now have to make our lives God's Bethlehem. We now need to make our lives the place of his birth, the place of his dwelling, the Bethlehem, if you will, into which God's purposes can take on human flesh in my life and in yours. Remember Mary's response to the angel's revelation of God's plan? Look at verse 38 of Luke chapter 1. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." What's Mary doing? She is humbly offering her availability. She is gladly committing to serve God's purposes. And that will come at great cost to her life. That will mean tremendous plans, a fundamental change in her life direction if she's going to take on this role that God is wanting to play in her life. And Mary was not recorded in the scripture, but she had to pray in that moment. She had to pray that amazing prayer that we find Jesus praying, "Not my will, but yours be done." And that is so different than the prayer that we often pray. The most popular prayer in the world is, "Lord, your will be changed. Lord, not your will, but mine be done." Mary says, "God, not my will, but your will be done. I will gladly, humbly accept this role and serve your purposes in the world." Now imagine how different your life and my life would be if we too got up every single day of our lives and we said, "Behold the servant of the Lord. Be it unto me according to your word, according to your will. More than anything else, Lord, let the expression of my life be your life being implanted in me, growing within me, becoming visible in me, and being birthed through me." What would happen if every day we woke up, we said, "God, be it unto me as your word declares, I am your servant." Wow. I'll tell you what would happen. We would begin to see something akin to the spirit of Christmas 365 days a year. But it wouldn't be the Christmas spirit. It would be Christ's spirit continually living in and working through us. That is the very real possibility that the Lord offers us. Now, I'm sure that some of you are saying, "Well, that's great. We hear that preached every Christmas time." And I agree with that. I agree with that. But the fact is, the reality, the track record of my life is that every time at this year I hear this and I make a commitment to this, but I just can't ever seem to make the Spirit of Christ stick much beyond the Christmas season. I can't seem to live out Christmas much beyond the day after Christmas, if that. How do I do it? It can't be done. It can't be done. I can't do it. And if you're saying that, you know what my response to you is? You're absolutely right. You can't do it. But remember Mary's response to the angel's revelation of God's plan? Look back at verse 38 again. Luke 1:38. I'm sorry, verse 37. Verse 37. The angel said, "Nothing is impossible with God." You say, "How can this be? How can this happen? It's impossible. I can't do it." The angel would say to you, "Nothing is impossible with God. The Spirit of God will empower you and reproduce in you that which is of Christ, if you will let him." If you will let him. Now listen, that is what you deeply, desperately long for. And that is what you deeply, desperately need. And I'm telling you this morning that it's possible, because nothing, nothing is impossible with God. He is just waiting for us to say, I am the Lord's servant. Be it unto me according to your word. I'm available to you, God. 365 days a year, I want to live Christmas every day. And for that, friends, you don't need the spirit of Christmas. But what you do need is the Spirit of Christ. And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, is available to you right here, right now. You're just waiting for a fresh invitation for you to say, come inhabit my life. I love the story, true story that I heard sometime back, not too long ago, in fact. And this was the story of a simple man who was converted through the ministry of the Salvation Army. This was a very simple man who lived in a urban part of the city, you know, down where people tend to be down on their luck and needing some help. And so he was influenced by the Salvation Army, and he came to know Jesus. And he was so appreciative of their ministry that he would spend as much time at the Salvation Army Center as he possibly could. He was there every time that he could be there. But one day this man came home depressed, kind of down. He was a little bit dark. He walked in his house and his wife said to him, she asked him, she said, what is wrong with you? And he said, well, I've noticed that all of the people at the Salvation Army, they all have red sweaters and I don't. She said, that's not a problem. I will knit you one. Which she did. She made him a red sweater. Well, the next Sunday, he went to their services again, but he came home just as sad as he was before. And his wife said, well, what's the problem now? What's going on? And he said, well, all of those people that have the red sweaters, their sweaters have some yellow writing on it, and I don't. And she said, well, that's okay. I'll embroider some words on your sweater. Now, both of these very simple people were illiterate. And she had no idea what to write on that sweater. But they live across the street from the Salvation Army, the building. And so she looked out of her window and she saw in the window of this Salvation Army building, she saw a sign, had yellow writing on it. And so she just copied the writing on their sign. Well, the next time that he returned home from his activity at the Salvation Army, she said to him, hey, how do they like your sweater with the writing on it? And he said, man, they loved it. In fact, many of them said they liked my sweater better than theirs. Well, what neither of them knew was that the sign in the window of the Salvation Army that she had copied and knitted those words onto her husband's sweater unknowingly read, under new management. This business is under new management. That's what allowing the same indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit who conceived in Mary, the Christ child, the life of Christ, to mean in you. That you say to him and to the whole world, I am under new management. That's exactly what you and I desperately need. And that's exactly what will birth the Spirit of Christ out of the spirit of Christmas in you. Not only the night before Christmas, but on the morning after Christmas, and every other day thereafter, including this day, including today. Are you ready for that? Are you ready, along with Mary, to say, Holy Spirit, I'm yours. I want to be the habitation. I want to be the indwelling. I want to be the incarnation of the Christ through my life. If you are, I want you to do this with me. Would you close your eyes? And would you take your hands and just where you're seated, would you just turn them upward to the Lord? And would you invite him in this moment to fill you, to indwell in you, to produce in you from this moment on, and for every moment on, the habitation and the life of Jesus Christ in a fresh way. Father, we turn our palms upward to you, symbolizing that we are offering our lives to you. Lord, we just innately desire something more than the spirit of Christmas. We desire the spirit of Christ. I pray through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, just like what happened in Mary, that you would conceive something in us. You would impregnate us with the life of Christ. That he would begin to grow in us in a fresh way. That it would grow and develop, and we would be formed in Christ, and Christ would be formed in us. And Jesus would begin to show through, that people would look at us and they would see something is showing, and that something would be the very life of Jesus Christ. So God, we offer ourselves to you. And I pray, God, that as we stand before you and as we say these words, we are the Lord's servants. Be it unto me, be it unto us, according to your word. God, that you would do it in this moment. And I pray that this wouldn't be just another Christmas sermon, but this would be the beginning of a new and a deeper and an ongoing walk with you, where Jesus is more real to us and more real through us than ever before. And we thank you. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. As your heads are still bowed, I'm wondering in this place today, there may be those of you who have never prayed a prayer like that. You have never invited God through the presence of his Spirit to birth Christ in you. You have never bowed your heart to him and said, I'm a sinner, but I want Jesus to be my Savior. I want him to come into my life and to be my Lord. I want him to not only forgive me, but I want him to be my captain, my daily partner. And I want desperately his guidance in this life, his presence in this life, and I want the eternal life that he offers to me as a gift from here on out. I want to be different. I want Jesus to show up in me. Or maybe you prayed that prayer some time ago, you made that decision, you invited Jesus to inhabit your life, but you've not been following through in that commitment. You know that you're far from God, and today the Holy Spirit is just prompting you, saying, I want to birth Christ afresh and anew in your heart. If that's you, if either one, for the first time or a recommitment of your life, you want to surrender your heart to Jesus Christ this morning, I want you to raise your hand. Every head bowed, everyone praying, just raise your hand right now if you would and say, Pastor Ray, would you pray for me? I want to turn my heart, I want to turn my life over to Jesus Christ. I see your hand. Are there others? How many hands can I see? Just raise your hand. Let me see you. Thank you. I see your hand. Are there others? Thank you. Thank you down here. Others, just put your hand up and slip it back down again. Thank you. And the balcony, thank you up there. Are there others? Thank you. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you. I see your hand. Father, we pray for these ones that have responded by raising their hands and acknowledging that they want to surrender their hearts to you this morning and invite Jesus Christ into their lives to be their Lord and their Savior. I pray, whether it's a first-time commitment or a re-surrendering of their lives to you, that this would be a very special day that they will not soon forget, the day that the Holy Spirit implanted Jesus in them in a profound and a life-changing way. And Lord, I pray that it would endure throughout this life and throughout eternity. God, we thank you for that. Lord, thank you for this day. We thank you for this moment. We thank you for this story that impacts us afresh and anew every year. Lord, I pray that as we go, we would go out not just in the spirit of Christmas, but we would go with the Spirit of Christ. And we would live that out every moment of the day. We ask you, help us by the Holy Spirit, because we would declare and we would acknowledge that nothing is impossible for you. We thank you for that. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast with Ray Noah, lead pastor at the center, teaching on the spirit of Christmas or the spirit of Christ. To help you further, take time to look at the outline available with this podcast. If you live in the Portland, Oregon area and are looking for a place to connect or are coming to our area, you can find out more information about our service times and programs right here on our website at pcctoday.com.